Hello and welcome to a new series from D1Baseball.com. We are calling Fourth Coach Conversations. I am going to be your host, Michael Patrick Rooney. This series we are really excited about. It's going to be the next 11 Sunday nights, and we have a presenting sponsor. We are super grateful for this. A special thank you to Netting Professionals, who again will be the presenting sponsor for this. Netting Professionals specializes in the design, fabrication, and installation of custom netting for college baseball programs all around the country. The next time your field or facility needs something new, make sure you check out Netting Professionals. These guys are awesome. They are huge supporters of amateur baseball, college baseball in particular. We're so thankful to Will Miner and those guys. So again, you know, these guys support us in college baseball. Just encourage everyone in college baseball. Any needs that you have for your facility, make sure you are in contact with Netting Professionals. These guys are awesome. So Fourth Coach Conversations, what do we got here? So, you know, for those that don't know, and I think everyone probably watching does, but in college baseball, we have a very unique thing called the volunteer coach. This is really the entry-level position in college baseball. And we're calling it Fourth Coach Conversations because, you know, these five guys, and when I was the volunteer, you know, you're the volunteer because you can't be paid by the school, you can't have benefits from the school, you can't recruit off campus, but you are literally the fourth coach on a Division I baseball staff. I mean, think about that, that you're coaching Division I athletes, but you have to volunteer. It's the craziest thing ever. And so, you know, I got to be the volunteer for 18 months when I was at Arizona State from 98 to 2000, many moons ago. And, you know, my experience was probably like these guys, incredibly impactful. I'd say of my 15 years in college coaching or in coaching in general, it was the most impactful of my career, just the learning curve, et cetera. But it was also very stressful. You can imagine not getting a paycheck is stressful. Not having benefits is stressful. Not being able to off-campus recruit and get your name out there is stressful. So we thought this would be a great idea. Selfishly, I want to get to know these guys. This is the next generation of coach in college baseball. This is the future of the game. So over the next 11 Sundays, we'll rotate five new guys in here every Sunday. And you know, really what I want to do is I want to hear these guys' stories. I want to learn more about their philosophies in coaching. And obviously, that's always a work in progress for all of us. And we'll talk a little bit about the volley life, the volunteer life, some fun. I've got some fun things that I'll share. I'm curious to hear some of your guys' stories. So, and again, like I told you guys, this is not just one conversation. This is the start of many conversations. I want to stay in touch with you guys. I hope you will stay in touch as well. So let's start with some introductions. So, Toby, you're going to go first because we're going to go alphabetic order. So Toby first, then Bobby, then Devin, then Calvin, then Andrew. So what I want you guys to do is give us your name, where you're coaching, how many years you've been there. I also want you to give me your high school name and mascot, your high school's colors, and a most notable alum from your high school, or if you don't have one, just what your high school's known for. So again, name, school, how many years you've been there, your high school name and mascot, the colors, and a most notable alum or what your school's known for. So, Toby, kick us off.
Yeah, Toby DeMello, excuse me, University of Arizona. I've been here for all of 2 or 3 months now.
Nice.
I'm originally from Sacramento. I went to Roosevelt High School. And ironically, probably the most famous alum from Roosevelt is probably Teddy Bruschi, who was obviously an awesome football player here and won a couple Super Bowls with the Patriots. So I guess it comes full circle.
Roseville, give me a mascot and some colors.
Oh, Tigers, orange and black.
Solid. Who's the most famous baseball alum for Roseville?
Ooh, gosh. You know what? This is bad because we have a...
Is it you?
No, it's not me. I'm not famous at all.
It's okay.
No, we actually had a pitcher in my class who was way, way better than I was. He pitched at Fresno State for a couple of years and then actually ended up transferring to Fresno Pacific. I don't know if you remember the name Derek Benny. He was the freshman pitcher of the year in the WAC.
Yep.
I believe in 2009. We have some big leaguers from my high school. I'm blanking on the names.
That's all right. We can come back to that. We can Google that. Bobby, you go next. Go ahead, Bobby.
My name is Bobby Warnes, and I'm at the University of Arkansas. I'm from Overland Park, just originally, right outside of Kansas City. And my high school was Blue Valley West, the Jaguars, and we were black and red. And then the most notable alumni, I would say, is probably Matt Beasler, who played on the United States national soccer team for a long time and was like in the World Cup. I'm going to feel really bad if I'm leaving someone out, but I think that would probably be the most notable. He was on the Olympic soccer team for a long time. I think he recently retired. I think he was like a 2005 grad or something like that. But yeah, he was on the national team for a long time. So I think
no astronauts, no former Jags that went to the moon.
I'm going to feel really bad if there is a Jag in space and I got no idea. I would say Matt Beasler would probably be my final answer.
That's an impressive soccer pool, though, Bobby. I see you working. You're not just one lane, multidimensional. Hey, how many years have you been in Arkansas as a coach?
Oh, you're right. So this will be my second year. Was my first year here. Yes.
Okay, perfect. Awesome. Hey, Cal, you go next.
Yeah, my name is Calvin Peacock. I'm with Bradley University. This is my first year there. I'm from Bartonville, Illinois, which is just outside of Peoria. I went to Limestone High School. We are the Rockets, and probably the most notable alumni would be Jim Thome, Hall of Famer. And he's done a lot for the school, and I'm just an awesome guy. So.
And colors, what were the Rockets?
Blue and white.
It's an odd color for Rockets, but I'll take it. I like Rockets. It's strong. Excellent. Jim Thome, that's great. Is Limestone a small high school, or is it a fairly big high school?
Oh, I think we are 3A out of four classes in baseball. So we're, about 1,200 students. It's usually what we say. So it's a good size school. It's kind of the middle of the pack. So.
All right, Coach Amaro. Your answer is going to hurt my feelings, but go for it.
Yes. My name is Andrew Amaro. I am assistant at Florida State University. I got here in late July of 2021 this past year. And my high school is William Penn Charter School, the Quakers. We're the Quakers. We are Vegas Gold and Navy. And the most famous alumni, William Penn Charter, is in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. And our most famous alumni is Matt Ryan with the Atlanta Falcons. And my uncle, Ruben Amaro Jr., who was the general manager and played with the Philadelphia Phillies.
That's awesome. So I'm going to give Andrew a hard time all night because his high school, Penn Charter, and my high school, Malvern Prep, are both in the Philadelphia Interact League. Bitter rivals in baseball. Great, great rivalry, actually. So we'll have some fun with that. That is very aggressive. Andrew, I'd never heard someone from Penn Charter call it Vegas Gold. I appreciate the aggressiveness of that. You guys are basically Navy and Gold, but Vegas Gold is excellent. So that's done.
It's changed. It's more yellow now, yellowish, lighter gold, or lighter yellow, mustard yellow now.
I love it. That's awesome. Penn Charter is an awesome athletic high school. Really, really good high school. It's a great league. I mean, it is a great league in around the Philly area. So cool. All right. So Toby, we're coming back to you. So next, here's what I want to do next. I want your bio I want you to start with your hometown, which you kind of gave us already, and then just take us through playing, high school, college, pro ball, if it applies, and then coaching, so you don't have to tell us kind of what happened at each stop, but I'm just looking for the different bullet points, the timeline of your career, including playing.
Okay, so started out Roosevelt High School. I was there. I graduated in 2008, and I played 4 years at St. Mary's College in Moraga, home of Corbin Burns. He just had a big start the other night for the Brewers. I was a big time prospect. Went in the 29th round as a senior. And then did, I was kind of bumped around the minor leagues for 3 years, was kind of an organizational catcher, then spent 2 years playing indie ball, then proceeded to move back home. And, as guys know, once you're done playing, you kind of get back on your feet and move back in with my parents and coached at Sierra College for a year under legend Rob Wilson. And then went down to Occidental College for a year, Division III, and then took the director of ops job at Sac State. Then got bumped up. Bill Kernan was our volunteer, who I Legend. I call him the Dos Equis guy because, I mean, he was easily the most interesting guy I've ever met in my life. So he retired for the 12th time from baseball. So I got bumped up to the volunteer there, was there for 2 years. And then this past summer, got hired here at Arizona.
Toby, who was your coach at St. Mary's? Did you play for Coach Soto?
Yep, Jed Soto. And then Gabe Zappin was there as an assistant. Lloyd Acosta, who's now at Davis. And then Mike McCormick, who was at Brown, now in the Giants organization.
Yep. Bill Kernan. Yeah, he's you know, Toby's not kidding about Dos Equis. This guy is a total legend. He's written Broadway screenplays, and he was an assistant coach under Augie Garrido way back in the day at Fullerton. He was the head coach at Cal State Bakersfield when they restarted the program, took them to a regional in 2014. I actually think Cal State Bakersfield beat Ole Miss in that regional, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, they did. They did.
So, oh man, total legend. That's a great, gosh, yeah,
we could do a 4-hour podcast on just stories about him. He's the man.
That's right. Well, that'll be a different series actually brought to us by Dos Equis. I like it. All right, Bobby, give us your timeline. Hometown.
So
you got to start with hometown. I think you're a tech. No, yeah. So you gave us Kansas City, basically.
Yeah, pretty much right outside of Kansas City, Overland Park. Played at Blue Valley West High School, and I graduated in 2012. Went to Osceola County Community College for a year. That's in Kansas. That's about an hour and a half south of Kansas City. And then had a transfer to Arkansas and played 2 years for Arkansas. And Toby actually has me beat by a round. He was drafted in the 29th round, so you'll have that. I was in the 30th round, so you're going to have that over me the entire call. Drafted by Houston in 2015. Played for Houston for 2 years, and I tricked him for long enough, but they finally found out I couldn't hit and gave me a little ax. And I tricked the Rockies into thinking I could still hit. So I got 2 more years with Colorado. That took me to 2018, so I played 4 years total professionally, just third base, a little bit of second base. So I was an infielder. After that, I got a job with the Phillies as a hitting coach in the GCL. So that was my first gig in coaching, which was awesome. Really, really good experience. Loved getting to, kind of learn that side of professional baseball. So I'm very, very fortunate to be able to done that. In 2020, I was supposed to manage that GCL team with the Phillies. And I got about 2 spring training games in before that, got COVIDed out. So that was too bad. But then the opportunity came up to come back to Arkansas as a volunteer. And I really wanted to do it. So that would have been in the fall of 2020. So this will be my second year. So those are my stops.
Bobby, so did you sign as a junior 1 year at Neosho and 2 at Arkansas? Is that right?
Yes, sir. Yes.
Awesome. Excellent. Cal, you go next while we're waiting. Get Devin back in here.
Yeah. Limestone High School, and just outside of Peoria, Illinois, in Bartonville. I graduated in 2016. I went to Southeastern Illinois College, which is a JUCO down in Southern Illinois. Played there for 2 years and then transferred to Chicago State. Played there for 2 years. And then the program was cut after the COVID year. And that was the end of that. And then I pursued coaching. I went to Carl Sandburg College, which is a junior college. I was a pitching coach there last year, which is in Galesburg, Illinois. And now I'm at Bradley. So
where is Galesburg, Cal? Whereabout is that?
It's kind of on the the west side of Illinois, closer to Iowa. So we played a lot of like Southeastern, those type of school, the junior colleges over in Iowa. So it's about 40 minutes outside of Peoria to the west side. So.
And was Chris Zorch the athletic director at Chicago State when you were there, or no?
He was there my junior year, and that is still the biggest and strongest hand I've ever shook. And he was a really, really cool guy to listen to speak. And he was there my junior year. He wasn't there my senior year. And that was it. So
my freshman year at Notre Dame, way 1988, Chris Zorch, national champs in football.
Yeah.
Chris Zorch was our nose tackle. I mean, let's call him 6 foot, and he's easily 6 foot across too. Like this dude, and the weight room antics were epic, just epic.
Yeah. Yeah, he's a large man, for sure.
Large man, yeah. Hey, before you go, Andrew, Devin, are you there? Unmute yourself, Devin. We could hear him earlier. All right. Hey, Devin, try clicking out and clicking back in. Andrew, you go next.
So I went to William Penn Charter School in Philadelphia. I'm from Bensalem, Pennsylvania, which is about right north of Northeast Philadelphia. My freshman year, I played at University of Maryland for 3 years from 2012 to 2014 under Coach Backage and John Sheff. And I left after my junior year and I transferred to University of Tampa in 2015. And it was a really good experience there. I was drafted in the 35th round in 2015. And I played about one calendar year with the Phillies and the Crosscutters and the Lakewood Blue Claws. And I got right into coaching. I got released in 16. I went back to University of Tampa and coached them in the spring of 16. Then in 2017, I came back north and I was coaching as the volunteer at University of Delaware. And then after that season, right when the season ended, I became the recruiting coordinator at LaSalle University in Philadelphia. And I was there for 4 years. The program got cut this past year, and this was our last season. And then I ended up moving down to Florida State as the volunteer.
Andrew, you guys had such an incredible year at LaSalle last year. It was just so awesome to watch. It was miserable to know what was happening behind the scenes, but yeah, it was awesome. What you guys, you and Coach Miller did at LaSalle was really, really cool. And such a sad way for it to end. But man, you guys kicked some serious tail last year. That was awesome.
No, thank you. It was definitely an enjoyable last dance thing that we had there, because we had a group of guys that really believed in each other. And we wish, for how many young guys we had in the lineup, that we could have figured out a way to move it forward. It just didn't end up working out.
Yep. Hey, your catcher transferred somewhere in the Power Five, right? Where is he?
He is at Pitt. Tatum Levins.
Yep, that's right. Awesome. Hey, who were your head coaches at Tampa?
Joe Urso is the coach there. He was there.
That's who you played and coached
for. When I played. Yes.
Yep.
Yes.
Got it. Cool. All right. So next one, coming back to you, Toby. Stayed focused on your playing career. This could be any level. I don't care if it's Little League, like if you went to Williamsport or something, but I want to know the best team you ever played on and a highlight. Like if you can only pick one highlight from your playing career, give me one highlight. So best team you ever played on and a highlight from your playing career.
Yeah. That's hard. The best team I ever played on, this is going to sound, I'm going to, probably my 13, 14-year-old travel team.
What was the name of it?
The Wood Creek Lobos.
Go Lobos. And
another kind of like small world deal. So I actually grew up playing with Andrew Susak.
Okay. Big leaguer.
Who's at Oregon State, played in big leagues. I believe he's with Pittsburgh still in AAA. Just finished up. So his younger brother is our catcher. His cousin is a freshman pitcher for us. His Andrew's dad and his uncle, John and Nick Susak, were our coaches, and they put together, this is like right when travel ball is starting, and they put together, they kind of handpicked all the guys from the Sacramento area that they wanted on the team. And I'll probably get this wrong, but I think we had seven or eight guys who played Division I baseball on that team.
Love it.
And then they did it again too, like with Daniel and Tonko's year. We have TJ Nichols here, who's on their team. Carson Blatnick's a catcher at Sac State now, who played at Washington. They had another team that had like 10 Division I players on it. So I think that was probably it. And then as far as memory, in 2014, we won the Appy League, and that was pretty cool. That was a really fun moment.
Love
it. It's probably my best baseball memory.
So Bobby, same for you. Best team you ever played on and a memory from, you know, like if you only pick one memory from your playing career.
Yeah. So I think the best team I ever played on would have to be in 2018 when I was with Double A Waukees, Hartford Yard Goats. I think like that whole team's in the show now. Minus me. I'm very happy to be on the Zoom, but I'm not.
You're in a different show. Yeah.
I mean, like Brennan Rogers was the shortstop, Garrett Hampson, Sam Hilliard. We were pretty dang good for that league. And then I remember the Blue Jays, like their infield was Vladdy Jr., Bichette, Gurriel, and Biggio. So like that was like playing against them. And we played against them a lot. And I want to say we played them over 20 times. And again, like you say, the team I played for, I didn't really play for them. Like I was on the roster and I got ABs every now and then. But I think, yeah, that Double-A Rockies team in 2018, yeah, a good majority of that roster is in the show now. And then favorite memory, I mean, have to be 2015, my junior year here at Arkansas, going to the College World Series. I mean, just growing up as a kid, you know, really wanting to do that. And it was a really rough start to the year. We were like around a 500 club going into a conference. I think we start 1-5 in the league, which, I mean, you guys know that can be really tough to get out of. But just kind of things started clicking. I don't think we lost another series the rest of the way. Got to play the Super at home. So, I mean, 13, 14,000 people. It was – going to the College World Series was really special.
That's awesome. That was the Super Region with Missouri State, right?
Exactly. So our hitting coach, Coach Thompson, was the hitting coach then.
That was pretty chippy, too, if I remember, too.
Oh, yeah, and I let him know. We talk about it a lot more. A lot more than he wants to around the office, that's for sure. But yeah, it was a chippy. It was a good – I mean, they were incredible. I mean, they won 50-some-odd games. They had Jonathan Harris, first-rounder. Matt Hall was their Friday guy who led D1 in strikeouts. He's got some big-league time.
Eisenman was the shortstop, right?
So that was the next year, or maybe 2017. Oh, okay. Yeah, so he was
gotcha.
I mean, yeah, Ironman was.
Was Berger on that team, or he wasn't quite on that
team?
He was
a freshman. He was a freshman, okay. And he didn't look like it. He looked like he was a draft eligible junior. Like, he was obviously very good. So that team, yeah, that team was loaded. But you're right. It was very chippy. It was a very chippy series.
I love it. Cal, you go next.
Probably the best team I played on was my senior year. We got third in state in Illinois, class 3A. It was just an awesome run. It was a really good group of seniors, guys I grew up with, kind of smaller town, played travel ball, you know, together the whole time. So it was a really, really cool thing. Notable thing there, and I know you'll appreciate this, was in the third and fourth place game, we beat St. Viator, and Cole Komet was the starting pitcher.
Wow.
Yeah, so he was, you know, obviously – Yeah. I sent him a message on Twitter. I was like, hey, man, we beat you. Is there any way I can get an autograph? I'm a huge Bears fan. He never replied, but he was a power lefty. But it was a great year. It was really fun. And probably like the best memory, my junior college at Southeastern Illinois, it just not a historically great program or anything, but my sophomore year there, we made the playoffs, which was in the GRAC, which is a really competitive conference with John A. Logan and Wabash and all those schools. And we made the playoffs for the first time in, I think, 20 years in school history. So that was really special. Anyone that's a JUCO guy knows, you know, the things or grind you go through. And it was really cool to kind of, you know, to leave that mark there. So
love it. Awesome. Andrew, go ahead.
My favorite team and the best team I played on was the 2014 Maryland team. We at the time broke the school record for wins. I believe that they were just as good, if not better, in 2015 when Lamont Wade and Brandon Lau, they were draft eligible that year. But we had a breakthrough year in 2014. We were a game away from Omaha in the Charlottesville Super, and we lost. In 2015, I transferred to Tampa, and we won the national championship. And my favorite experience, we got to play the Phillies. My uncle was the GM at the time. And we played them. It was like their first day of spring training. We ended up beating them. And I had a pretty good game to play. And I scored a few runs. We hit a grand slam in the top of the eighth to win 6-2. And it was on SportsCenter because it was embarrassing for Philadelphia. But, it was a really cool experience that our team went out there and like legitimately outplayed the Phillies.
That is awesome.
They weren't playing Ryan Howard and Utley and those guys, but they had some of their starters in the lineup that day. So it was pretty cool, even though they were rusty just from 6 months off.
I love it. It
was a big celebration for us.
So Andrew, you're 2014 at Maryland. Did you guys win the South Carolina regional, Columbia? What regional did you guys win?
Yes. We played South Carolina. Campbell was in it and Old Dominion was in it. The Columbia regional.
Yep. Oh, that's awesome. God, that was cool. What a great run. So 2014 though was Coach Sheff. Coach Backett had already moved on to Michigan, right?
Yes.
Yep. Gosh, that's really cool. All right. So now I want to start to kind of move into, let's talk coaching a little bit. This question will be a little bit random, but I think it gives everybody a good feel for you guys and then we'll dive deeper. So here's starting with you, Toby, here's what we're going to do. So if you were going for a job interview right now, who would be, you can only pick three. Give me your top three references that you tell me to call and who you're connected, you know, what your connection to them is. And, you know, it could be obvious, you know, your college coach, whatever it is. And then I also would like, if I asked you like, hey, what are your areas of expertise? Like, hey, I work with catchers. Or so give me your three references if you were going for a job and what your area of expertise is.
Yeah, that's really hard. Reggie Christensen, head coach at Sac State, obviously working for him for 3 years. And I don't know if, I mean, there's few people that are respected more than he is around the game. Yep. He's an incredible coach. So he would be one. Two would probably be Gabe Zappin. He was our recruiting coordinator at St. Mary's, and he's a NorCal scout for the Cubs. We stay in touch. We talk often. Jack Martyr at Oregon. He and I are fairly close. We talk often. We He's talk great. Less now.
Yeah.
We talked That's more right. That's right. A couple months ago.
He's at Oregon, you said, right? And he was at Stanford before. Played at Oregon, coached at Stanford, now is back at Oregon. Yeah.
Yep. And then obviously Jake Angier too was at Sac State with me.
Yep.
He was a pitching coach there. So both those guys I used to talk to on a weekly basis, that's gone down to like once a month.
That's right. And your staff now, obviously, really good staff that you're on now. So,
our staff is on
there. You guys have just gotten there, so makes sense.
Yeah, our staff is incredible here. I mean, we've got like 70, 80 years of coaching experience. It's awesome.
Yeah.
As far as expertise goes, hitting and catching,
perfect.
That's kind of the sweet spot. You have the most fun doing those two things. So,
love it. Cool. Bobby?
Yeah, I'm glad Toby went first because that gave me a lot of time to think.
That's right. Poor Toby. Toby's going to wear it all night. No fair.
So, I mean, the first one would obviously be Coach Van Horn at Arkansas.
Sure.
He doesn't think I deserve a job. He's probably right. That would definitely be my first reference. I think my second one would be Josh Bonifay, who hired me with the Phillies. He was the farm director at the time, and I actually built my relationship with him. He was a manager and field coordinator with the Astros organization. So that's kind of how I got in with him. He's now in a different role within the Phillies organization, but unbelievable bat mind, progressive thinking, but also like a gritty old school baseball guy. He's a very, very special baseball guy. That would be my second one, Josh Bonifay. And then third, I'd have to say Chris Forbes, who similar relationship to Josh. He was the guy that signed me with Colorado. He's now their farm director. He'll actually be starting this year for his this will be his first year with Colorado. But and again, very similar to Josh, just a incredible baseball guy. He's been with the Rockies for a long time, understands the game. I think he was an assistant coach at the University of Kansas as well. Early 2000s, late 90s. I may have my timeline a little bit off. But he's very familiar with both the college and the pro game. And in terms of expertise, I guess, more my area of focus, similar to Toby, hitting and catching, but I was also an infielder, so I kind of do all three here at Arkansas, kind of working with Hope and Coach Thompson, and then catchers and infielders, helping with Coach Van Horn. So those three, really.
Bobby, did catching, was that something that you tried in junior college? I don't remember you catching at Arkansas.
No, you're exactly right. Yeah. I mean, I think I was a very elite catcher in like seventh grade. That's maybe my the extent. But when I got with the Phillies in 2019, they asked what I wanted to do because I was going to be a hitting coach, and they said you have to also coach a position. And I said I wanted to do catching because I'd never done it.
Nice. So,
I learned a lot. Like JT Realmuto would always come to the minor league side and like talk to their guys, and like the players think that they were learning. Like, no, I was learning a ton from him.
Sure.
So like we would always do a lot of we do a lot of his kind of routine here. So I guess to answer your question, that's a really long-winded answer. I never caught, but when I got into professional baseball, I really wanted to. I think catching is just so important, obviously, and I really wanted to learn more about it. So that's kind of how I got that.
Yeah, I always think of George Horton at Fullerton, who was one of the best coaches I ever got to coach against. But he was a left-handed DH in college for Augie Garrido at Fullerton and became like a pitching guru, you know, and it's like he never threw a pitch in college.
Yeah,
it was a position player, but just, you know, it's like, hey, you learn new positions. It's the best. I love it. Cal, you go next.
Yeah, my number one reference would be Steve Joselyn, who was my head coach at Chicago State. Just you know, just an A1 guy. He was at Northern Illinois for a long time, and you really learn how much he's respected the more you start to talk to people and you bring his name up, and people speak really highly of him. So, such a great guy. You know, taught me so many things outside of baseball, and that was really, really important. And then Nate Metzger at Wright State's been a guy that has been just amazing to me. He recruited me a little bit when he was at Heartland Junior College, and just one of those guys I kind of reached out to out of nowhere, and he just, you know, welcomed me with open arms. And he's been a guy, if I have any question about anything throughout this whole process, he gives me a straight up answer, and a guy I can rely on that's done it and done it really well. And then Coach Dominguez at Bradley, we've only been together for a short time now, but it's unbelievable the amount of knowledge and things I've learned from him. And again, a guy that's just really respected. He's on, you know, a lot of different boards. He's a great guy in that aspect. So as far as expertise, I was a pitcher in college. I was a guy that knew I wasn't really going to have probably any pro ball opportunities. So I really tried to start taking it in from as many different angles. And then Bradley kind of gave me the opportunity to work with outfielders. So I'm working with the outfielders now. And, you know, trying to be the right-hand man for Coach Truen, who does all of our hitting stuff, and trying to take in as much as that as possible. And then trying to give them an outlook from a pitching perspective, but working with hitters. So really just trying to be as well-rounded as possible. And Bradley's given me a good opportunity to do that. But my background is definitely in pitching. That's you know, kind of where what I did and what I'm most confident in. So
love it. Andrew, go ahead.
So mine first one would be Joe Urso, the head coach at University of Tampa. I learned so much from him. He's very well connected, even though he's coaching D2. He's very well connected with Division I coaches because a lot of their players are Division I kickbacks that end up playing for them. And I think that he's a reference that from the amount of success he's had and amount of championships he's won, he's just really showed me firsthand how to build a roster. And that was something I learned and will be able to take with me moving forward from the recruiting side of things. Eric Backage is probably the main reason I'm coaching. When I was probably in eighth or ninth grade, he was recruiting my brother at Penn Charter when he was at Vanderbilt. And it was really awesome to see how he ended up building Vanderbilt and starting what they are now. And then he got to University of Maryland, and it was like the school I wanted to go to. And then it ended up working itself out that I got to play for him for a year. And I haven't seen him very often just because I haven't been out recruiting in the Midwest and haven't seen Michigan out when I was recruiting over in Philadelphia. But he's someone who really spearheaded what college baseball is for me and how to build a roster and how to get kids to buy into something and buy into the same program so that you guys can end up trending in the right direction. And that's something that I'll never forget that I learned from him in my 1 year of playing for him and while he recruited me when I was at University of Maryland. The third one will be Rob Vaughn, who is the current head coach at the University of Maryland. I'm sure he's one of the reasons why I was able to get this opportunity at Florida State. He's very close with Jim Bellinger, who is our pitching coach here now. And he's awesome. He created and we played under this pack mentality, and he really had our offense buy in and had this belief system at University of Maryland that was really cool because we didn't have the sexy recruits. We weren't first, second rounders coming into Maryland, and we ended up having the two best teams in their school's history in 14 and 15 because of a lot of what he did with our offense. And something that I'll never forget is playing under an identity that is really about our mindset and our belief system. So that's someone who I'll definitely cherish the relationship I have with him and getting to see him out, maybe a little bit more recruiting here and there moving forward.
So Coach Vaughn coached the pack, that pack mentality that Matt Deggs has made. Yes. Really. Oh gosh, that's awesome. That makes perfect sense to me. Oh, that's great. Yeah, you're right. You're right. Andrew, I'd agree with you. You guys at Maryland couldn't really get the Malvern guys. You're getting the Penn Charter guys. So, you know, I couldn't resist. I had to take one shot at Penn Charter at some point.
Yeah. But so expertise, infield for my 4 years. I did infield and assisted David Miller with the offense in my 4 years at LaSalle. I was the recruiting coordinator. And my favorite thing and what I think I'm really impactful with is teaching infield defense. I'm currently doing outfield here at Florida State. Coach Martin does the infield and Metcalf does the catching. But teaching infield play and is something that I think I'm really valued at, and I really, really think it's so important in building a roster.
Awesome. I love it. All right, so let's stay on that topic of, I want you guys to pick an area of expertise, but don't have it be recruiting. We'll come back to recruiting in a second. So here's what I want you guys to do. This is going to be challenging. I'll give you an example. I want you to take your area of expertise, and I want you to share with me, you won't be able to share all of them, I want you to share with me some of your core philosophies in that area, and it has to be a maximum of 3 sentences. So max 3 sentences, some really important beliefs that you have in your area. So, okay, I'll go first. So I worked with infielders. One thing I'd say is retreating on the ball is really dangerous. Another thing I'd say is it's eyes, it's feet, it's hands. And the other thing I'd say is I actually came to believe that the short hop is the highest percentage hop. So those are just, you know, so that's what I'm looking for, is just give me some core, some things that are in your soul about your position, 3 sentences or less. Go ahead, Toby.
Do you want position or can we talk about hitting?
You can do hitting. Yeah, either sure. Just one. Can't be recruited.
Yeah.
Yep.
Okay. Hitting, I think it's pretty easy. Balance setup, controlled forward move, and path to the middle. I think that's an easy one for me.
Impact to the middle of the baseball or impact to the middle of the field?
Just path through the middle. Just if we can keep everything to center field, then we have, you know, we try to eliminate perfection when it comes to hitting. It's already hard enough. So right. Give ourselves as much room for error as we can.
Well done. Excellent. Go ahead, Bobby.
Yeah, I'll do hitting as well. I'll say I think the most important thing is swing decisions, like what you swing at.
Mm-hmm.
I think like the sequencing in terms of like your body, how your body moves to the baseball is like maybe pillar two. And then pillar three, like they don't pay you for singles. Like we got to slug that son of a gun. Yeah, so those would be my three.
Oh, that's awesome. Go ahead, Cal.
So I'll go with outfield. Number one is catch the ball. Number two is keep the double play in order. And then number three is backup bases.
I love that. I don't know if you do this, Cal, but I remember when I first came to coach on the West Coast, one of the things I'd never seen before, but it's your point about keeping the double play in order, is when West Coast teams, when an outfielder would, you know how it goes, right? Like an outfielder kicks a ball and then they pick it up and then they just literally launch it like a grenade. So on the West Coast, I'll never forget seeing this for the first time when I moved out here, was a lot of the West Coast schools, as soon as you bobbled a ball in the outfield, if it was three or four, mandatory go to second base, which is like a real game situation to your point. Keep the double play in order. I love that.
Yeah, and playing in the WAC, pitching in the WAC, played a lot of West Coast schools, and I just remember you give up whatever it is, a single, and it turns into a double really quick, and me being a ground ball guy, it's like it just takes it right away from you. So having that emphasis on keeping the double play in order, making sure those singles are singles and don't turn into doubles is important.
Yeah, love it. Andrew, go ahead.
In terms of infield defense, the first one I would say is go and get your hop. Second sentence would be catch every ball that hits your glove, whether it's a short hop or any ball that's thrown in. And the third one is a quote I heard from Giuseppe Papaccio. He's the assistant at NJIT, and I heard this at a camp. He said, there's no such thing as a bad hop. It's bad feet.
Love that.
And that's something I thought was hilarious at the time, and I think it's actually very, very valuable.
Now, that's a name that is an up-and-coming in coaching. He played at Seton Hall, Andrew, didn't he, Giuseppe? I feel like I got to do one of his games. Yep. That's awesome. Cool. All right. So let's go to recruiting now. So it'll be similar. So, you know, for a lot of us, when we're the volunteer coach, you're at a little bit of a disadvantage because you haven't been on the trail. Now, Andrew clearly has. But, you know, maybe you were on the trail as a junior college coach or who knows. But here's my question. So what area, geographic area, do you feel like you know the best in recruiting right now, where you have the best contacts currently? So, you know, maybe Bobby will say Kansas City. Maybe he won't. Maybe he'll say Kansas JUCOs. You could say anything. But what's an area where you feel like you've got good contacts currently? And then same thing, give me some recruiting beliefs, 3 sentences or less. Toby, you're going first.
Yes, Sacramento. Being from there, growing up there, my dad was a longtime high school coach, and at Roosevelt, I played for my dad in high school. So, just growing up, I knew a lot of local high school coaches. And
Toby, that's excellent info. I needed to know that 25 minutes ago. That's great.
Yeah, yeah.
Is your dad still coaching?
He's not still coaching. Him and my mom are empty nesters. He just goes and watches baseball games. He's like, I'm tired of stressing about the score. I want to just watch.
Smart. That's great.
That would definitely be it. Sacramento, it feels like half of our roster is from Sacramento anyway.
Baseball area.
Yeah, yeah. No, it's the hidden gym for sure. I guess it's not hidden. It's a gym. Man, as far as recruiting, I think this is something that I'll always take with me. The person is the most important thing, I think, when all else is equal, character and all those things and what kind of student they are, all those things matter. Coach Lawn he always says this in reference to school, right? Like he's never met anyone who's underachieved over here, who overachieved over here. And I think that holds so true there's a lowest common denominator to be a Division I baseball player. And once you've established that's reached, then it becomes about getting the right people. And because that's what culture is, right? It's the people in your building. And so you can overachieve or underachieve, and the better people you have, the better chance you have to overachieve.
Love that. Go ahead, Bobby.
Yeah, so I think obviously I've got a good feel for like Arkansas now. I'd like to think I got a pretty good feel for bordering states because we just try to hammer those states out. Kansas City and St. Louis, in terms of like cities that aren't in Arkansas, would probably be my main two, just because I've lived there the longest. So I guess from a geographic footprint, it'd be Arkansas, states around that, but really Kansas City and St. Louis. And then I guess in terms of like recruiting philosophies, I guess I'll go in a different direction than Toby did for my first one. I think just like you want to recruit the middle of the field, like catcher, shortstop, second base, center field. Like if you get overloaded with corner guys, like you're probably going to be in a bad spot. But the best athletes usually, by and large, play in the middle of the field. One thing I think I learned being around Coach Thompson and Coach Hobbs, and this is kind of piggybacking off what Toby said, it's just like culture fit is so important. Like the right person is so important. And I used to probably think that was a little bit of eyewash, to be honest. Like, if they're good enough, it's going to be fine. And that's really not the case. Like, it is so important for it to just be a good cultural fit. Because at the end of the day, like, we have to win a game on Friday in the SEC. Like, it doesn't really matter what they were doing in the showcase 8 months ago. I mean, it's just it's wild how many guys there are like that. There's ponies that, do they really help you win games when they matter? A lot of times it's just kind of the ball players that are cultural fit. And again, I don't think I would have bought into that maybe a year and a half ago. I would have probably thought that it was a little eyewash, to be honest. But no, it's absolutely the truth. So yeah, that's probably what I would say.
Love it. Go ahead, Cal.
I mean, in Illinois, obviously Chicago is the main one. So trying to continue to familiarize myself with a lot of really, really good programs and a lot of good athletes that go and play in the SEC and Power Five and all over the place. But then I'm from Central Illinois, and I'm pretty confident that Central Illinois has a really good baseball. We put out a lot of good guys. A lot tend to go to junior college first, but then you follow those names and they end up going to really big programs. So trying to kind of evaluate, the Central Illinois type of guys. And that's been the big thing, I guess, going into the three sentences. Last year, being at a junior college, the big change has been when you're evaluating talent or recruiting kids at a junior college, you need guys that can come in tomorrow and be a guy. And now going and working events or working camps at Bradley, where, it is a four-year program, you're looking more at that projectability type of thing. And again, with the pitching background, Coach Warner is our pitching coach. He does such a good job of giving me a lot of different things. Again, at junior college, looking for that guy that throws 85 to 87 at that camp. When you're recruiting at a four-year at a place like Bradley, you might be looking at that guy that's throwing 82 to 84, but he does a few things really, really well that makes you believe he's going to be a stud in a couple years or a year or two from now. Learning that a little bit has been important in the recruiting process. And then the last thing is GPA. Bradley is a school that is academically, tough to get into, and then also, tough to succeed and do well. And that's something that we prioritize quite a bit is doing well in the classroom. So a lot of guys eliminate themselves, you know, just from the academic standpoint. So, you know, there's guys we get, you know, guys send to us all the time, hey, you should check this kid out. And the first thing we look at is a GPA, and they might eliminate themselves right away, just in that aspect too. So I think that's a really important part, not only what we do, but, you know, on the athlete side of things is give yourself a chance to be recruited by some of these schools. So.
Love it. Andrew?
So I had experience as a recruiting coordinator for 4 years at LaSalle. I had a waiver to be out a few weekends this past fall at Florida State. So that was awesome to have experience down at Fort Myers at a huge event with dozens of games going on at a time and being able to try and cover all of them and everything I could do. Philadelphia is my most comfortable area just because I have contacts. My dad runs the Philly Bandits travel team, mostly located out of Bucks County, some kids in Montgomery County as well, and Delaware County. At LaSalle University, we were so close to Jersey. We had a lot of kids from South Jersey, public schools in Cherry Hill East, West, pretty much Central Jersey all the way down to the beaches. We had kids from the majority of those areas. So I'm confident recruiting in those areas just because I have contacts from the high school coaches and travel coaches. Mm-hmm. In terms of the three things for me recruiting, I think one thing that I learned early on is find something that really stands out aside from his swing or his glove, because a lot of schools are going to see the same guy or same few guys in a game. So if you can find something else aside from how hard he hits the ball, something that you think can really benefit your roster, that's something that I look for specifically. I know here at Florida State, we really recruit into scouting profiles, like what MLB scouts are trying to, how they're evaluating prospects and getting guys up the middle, like Bobby said, and getting guys who really have a hit tool. Because I think that nowadays with the shifting and defense and how it is, there's guys bouncing around and getting drafted. We're recruiting a lot of shortstops. Not everyone's going to play shortstop, for example. And in pro ball, there's guys, like Bobby said, like you get drafted at one position, you might not even ever play there. And you might move to a corner outfield if you don't profile into what they think is a major league middle infielder. You're probably not playing middle infield. That's why I think that the hit tool is such an important carrying tool, because there's guys moving up, like Max Muncy, for example. He's playing first and second base in the big leagues. And there's just different things that we're seeing nowadays with the shifting, the analytics, that it's making the hit tool, I think, very undervalued, because some teams are really putting guys in different positions that they haven't even played, and they're now playing in AAA in the big leagues in those positions. So I think that it's something with how good defensive coaching has gotten, we're able to move guys in spots and get them comfortable for a short term, for example. The third thing is finding kids who, nowadays, so many kids are playing on different travel teams, and you might see them in a showcase at the Garden State games, and you might see them at a Lake Point event, and you're never really seeing them play with the same group of kids. And I think if you can see a kid who the teammates perceive that they like and they want to play with, because if you see a kid three or four times, he might be on four different teams in the four times you see him. Mm-hmm. High school, then travel, and then in a showcase. If it's someone that his peers look like they actually would go to bat for and play with from what they know of him, I think that that's kind of what you're going to get at the college level from that kid.
I love it. Hey, boys, we got a couple minutes left, so let's go some rapid fire. I have a couple rapid fire questions I want to send to you. So, so part of the conversation around the volunteer position is there's limitations, right? No benefits, can't recruit off campus, et cetera, et cetera. So if you could, but you know, everyone ends up speaking for you guys instead of you guys getting to speak on us. So here's the question. If you could eliminate one of the limitations of the volunteer position, so you can you can have benefits for now, or you can recruit off campus, whatever it is, take one limitation of that position and you can just ixnay it. It's gone. What would it be? You go first, Toby.
I just think that, quite honestly, the pay and benefits, right? Because then it takes away having to do the, you know, 2-3 hours of lessons 5 nights a week. It takes away having to, you know, there's so many things that pull us away from that, right? And don't get me wrong, there's positives, because we are always on campus. So we tend to be the closest with the players.
That makes sense.
But I think that, just because, you know, I'd love to have, you know, those extra 10 hours a week to do more things.
Yeah, I hear you. Bobby, what would you go with?
I'd say
there's
recruiting.
No wrong answer here. This is good.
I'd say recruiting. Helping, getting another coach out on the road would be big for both the players on campus now and obviously the guys are trying to look at.
Love it. Cal?
Yeah, recruiting would be the first thing that sticks out to me. Just not being able to go out on the road and continue to learn is a big thing. It's hard to learn how to evaluate players if you can't get out and get on the road. So I would say recruiting would be the one.
Yep. Andrew, how about for you?
I think consistently being on the phone with recruits and being able to help the recruiting coordinator not have to field dozens of phone calls every single day is something that would really help a young mid-20s volunteer really get experience of how you sound on the phone is so important in landing prospects. And I think that if you can get experience in talking to 15, 16, 17, 18-year-olds and having to differentiate how you speak with them than a 20-year-old junior college kid, I think that that's something that's very helpful that will help you hit the ground running right when you get that recruiting coordinator job.
Love it. That's good. All right. So still staying on the rapid fire theme. So can't be your current program, not somewhere you played. Think about an opponent and a trait of an opponent that really stuck out to you. Maybe something you'd want to emulate when you become a head coach sometime. So I'll give you an example. Cal State Fullerton, identity. I'll never forget just how they were so good at being who they were. They had a unique identity and they were unbelievable at it. Toby, you go.
Yeah, I think when I was at Sac State, New Mexico State, when Brian Green was there, their offense was – they were just really hard to pitch to. It was hard to get guys out with the same plan. You really had to pitch. Mm-hmm. And I always felt like they were really, really tough to pitch to.
Love it. Bobby?
It's a really cheap answer, but I'm going to say it anyway. Missouri State, when Coach Shams was there – I remember that.
That's well played.
That was even what happened. I mean, just like 1 through 9, the way they went about their ABs, like they did not chase and they hit a lot of doubles. Like if you can do that, and just it was definitely Missouri State that 2015. I mean, it's 1 through 9. It was special to watch.
Yeah, that's an incredible. The people don't realize how much success that program has had. Really, really good mid-major program. That's a great poll. Cal, go ahead.
I remember pitching against UIC, Illinois Chicago, and that was a program that it seemed like 1 through 9, they all had the same exact approach, and you just couldn't beat them. It was guys that, again, they weren't chasing outside of the zone. They were competitive on pitches that were strikes, and that made it really tough. And it was one of the, I would say, the few college programs where it felt like everyone that got in the box had the same exact approach. I don't know. I've never been able to talk to those coaches, and obviously they have some legendary ones. But their approach there at UIC was I don't want to say cookie cutter because that almost sounds like an insult, but everyone that stepped in the box came with that competitive mentality that they were going to do damage on pitches in the zone and they weren't going to get cheated and they weren't going to chase. And that was a program that I remember playing, just kind of scratched my head saying, I don't know how we're going to really be able to beat them. So.
That's great. Go ahead, Andrew.
And I was at LaSalle right before the pandemic. We had a 3-game set at Wofford, and we prepared for their team offense and their base running and everything that they're really skilled at. And they absolutely boat raced us, I think, probably by 7 or 8 runs, all 3 games each. And they were really hard to prepare for. They swung at strikes. They drove the ball. They hammered mistakes. And they were really, really sharp on the base path, stealing bases, stealing second and third, double steals, like, consistently. And they were really hard to – we prepared for them as much as we could, and we were just a step behind.
That's awesome. Excellent. Boys, I knew this was going to happen. I literally wrote down like 30 questions I wanted to ask you guys, and I think I got to 7 of them. So like I said in the beginning, I wanted this to be the beginning of many conversations between the 5 of us. And, you know, I wanted, again, I was so interested to learn more about you guys, and I wanted to have an audience that got to do the same thing. And so I appreciate you guys going first. Toby, especially you, because you were the ultimate.
Thank you, Toby.
Pig,
that
you
was
did
cute.
Great. Yes.
Hopefully, I killed enough time for you guys to get your answer dialed in. So
yeah, no, you did great. So yeah, and for the audience, I'm really looking forward to the next 10 Sundays after tonight. These guys were great. I was so excited to meet them, and I'm more excited for the next set of calls because this was super, super fun. I want to say thank you again to our presenting sponsor, Netting Professionals, Will Miner and the guys, so supportive of college baseball and amateur baseball. So that is it. We will catch everyone next Sunday night. Fellas, it was a pleasure. Really appreciate you doing this. It was awesome, and that's it. We'll see everybody next Sunday. Have a good one.
Thanks for having us.
Thank you, guys. Thank you, Mike.
You got it.